All right, so what I'd like to do today is to begin a new aspect of the halachos of Shemitah. Last time we had been discussing, we had transitioned from the Isurei Melacha in the field to talk a little bit about the positive obligations with regards to the field, in particular the Chiyuv Hefker. Last week we discussed the nature of the Chiyuv Hefker, both in terms of whether it's automatic or it's not automatic, whether it's only nafkata. Whether it's only nafkata the gavra or it's nafkata the malka, and we also discussed whether it's just narrowly a chiv hefker. We argued on the basis of the Rambam in particular, and it's really a broader requirement about sort of opening up widely my doors, whether that be in terms of my ownership and the hefker aspect, or just simply opening up my gates and making the food available to everyone. This week I'd like to do is to start a few shiurim that talk about another aspect of Peros Shavias, and in particular the notion of the Kedushas Peros Shavias. So what we have essentially is, alongside the Isser Malacha, we now have fruit that grew, whether be Isser or even Beheter, on Shavias. It grew on its own during the Shemitah year, and such food is invested with Kedushas Shavias, right? Now there, again, whether there's a separate issue, let's say I work the field be Isser, what is the status of that produce? That's an important Halacha L'maisa question, because let's say there's a non-Jewish farmer who violates the halacha and plants on Shemitah, am I allowed to eat that food? Sort of similar to my Shabbos, right? If whether or not I'm allowed to derive benefit from something that was grown on Shabbos, and that's a question. Or let's say someone refused to open up their field to the aniyim, and food therefore grew, right? Am I allowed to eat that food, right? Is that aser b'dieved, right? That's the question of min hamashumar. Are you allowed to eat min hamashumar? There's a machlokas rishonim about that. Rabbi Thomas Machmir, I believe, others were mekel, and general psak is to be mekel on that issue, but there are questions that arise along those lines. So now what I want to do is to discuss, beginning today, the status of peroshia. So here you have these fruit. These fruit were, let's say, grown beheter. Let's leave aside the cases of iser. They were grown beheter, and yet because they were grown, they grew on Shavias, in addition to the Isser originally upon the person with regard to the Malacha on the field, in addition, there are certain halachot that flow from the sanctity, from the Kedusha, that is invested in the Peros Shavias. We know that this is true not only for Peros Shavias, this is true in many areas of Halacha, in many aspects of Zerayim. Right? We know that very often there is a Halacha of Kedusha, right, that is associated with this particular produce. So whether it be Tevel with regard to Truma and Maestros, right, that we find that there's a certain degree of Kedusha. Chala as well, we find that notion. Various aspects or areas with regard to Zerayim and other areas of Halacha as well, in which we have a notion of Kedusha that's associated with this produce. You not only have it with regard to Kedusha, but you have it with the inverse, with regard to something that is lacking in sanctity, or that is offensive somehow. Avodah Zarah, right? With regard to Avodah Zarah, so the object of Avodah Zarah becomes stamped with the status of Avodah Zarah, and there's a Chiyuv Biur, and there are different Halachos that are associated with that, and you have to take the cash that was exchanged for, right? You have a notion of Chalipin, in other words, not the Kinyan of Chalipin, but Chalipin, in other words, you have the notion that the sanctity can transfer from one object to the other with regard to, or the status with regard to Avodah Zarah. And you have that notion, by the way, with regard to Shavuos as well. We'll be discussing this, but it's worth mentioning now. What's the halacha with regard to Shavuos? I think it's explicit in Mishnayos, the Masechet Shavuos, the later parts of the Masechet, that the halacha here, as opposed to some other areas of halacha, is essentially as follows. Let's say I have fruit that is invested with Kedusha Shavuos and I exchange it with something else, right? So I buy something with it, or I exchange it for money, right? And then I exchange that money for other monies, and so on and so forth. What's the halacha? So the halacha, it's clear with regard to Shavuos, is as follows. The original fruit that was invested with Kedusha Shavuos has that status, le'olam va'ed, until and unless it's destroyed. But it has Kedusha Shavuos forever, and that can never be taken away because that is the original entity that was invested with Kedusha. Then, the halacha is that the final object that was exchanged for the Kedusha Shavuos, that is also, with the Peros, that is invested with Kedusha Shavuos. So what does that mean? Right? But not in any intermediary object or monies. So what would that mean? So let's say, Mayor, you have a Shemitah. What's your favorite fruit? Come on, give it to me.
Let's go with an apple.
Okay, you have your Shemitah apple. So now you say, I really like this Shemitah apple, I'm going to sell it to someone or exchange it to someone, right? Or exchange it for another object, for a non-Shemitah apple or for a pear. You're in a mood for something, right? In the mood for something more exotic, something like that. So the halacha is that that apple, the Shemitah apple, is invested with Kedusha Shemitah forever, Kedusha Shvias. But now, right, now the pear has Kedusha Shvias, okay? Because it was exchanged for the apple. So the pear now has Kedusha Shvias. Now let's say I take the pear and I exchange the pear for a banana. What's the halacha? So start with the apple. The apple was exchanged with the pear, and now the pear was exchanged for a banana. It was bartered. Or for money, whatever it may be. Let's take the banana case. For whatever, it doesn't matter. It was exchanged, as long as they were exchanged in a financial transaction in which one was swapped for the other. So what's the halacha? So now the apple retains its kedusha shvias li'olam va'ed, as we said, but the pear no longer has kedusha shvias because the pear took its sanctity and transferred it onto the banana, and so on and so forth. So the kedusha shvias is invested in two objects. Number one, the original object of kedusha, and number two, the final object for which it was, the original fruit, was swapped. So that's just the halacha with regard to chalip and exchanges of kedusha shvias. That's an important idea for everyone to know. Okay, now what I want to focus our time today is on beginning to understand the primary halacha with regard to Kedusha Shvias. The Gemara really is a series of halachas that all fall under the rubric of one primary halacha, which is the halacha that we call Le'ochla. Le'ochla, what does that mean, Le'ochla? The Torah tells us in two places that the produce of the Shemitah land, in other words, food that is invested with Kedusha Shvias, is given to us to be eaten, le'ochla. It's not like it's kadosh and therefore you're not allowed to have it at all. No, right? We're encouraged to eat, right, perosh v'yas, or it's permissible to eat perosh v'yas. How do we know? Because the Torah says so. The Torah says in Parashas Bahar, Perachav Hei Pasuk Vav, Ha'yusah, Shabbas Aretz Lachem, le'ochla. Right? It's for you to what? To eat it. Basically, for everyone in your household. It's permissible to eat. It's given to you to eat. There's a heter achila. There's no question about that. Similarly, for the avyonim, right? In Parshas Mishpatim, in Shmos Perak Chav Kimal Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vashvi Istish Metena Unitashta, Vachlu Avyoni Amecha, Vyisram Tocha Chayas Asadek, Kintasadachar Machalaz Esecha. Again, Vachlu Avyoni Amecha. In this case, it's only the avyonim, but the idea that it's there for you and your household or anyone associated with your household to eat or for the aniyim to eat, all that is clear and the mefurash in the pasuk. Now Chazal come along and they derive on the basis of this pasuk, and it appears in Mishnah Yoshin Shvias and in Gemara's scattered in a couple places across Shas. Essentially what we derive on the one hand is yes, le'ochla, but le'ochla is of course a limiting term. And Chazal have a series of limudim that they employ. One of those limudim, which we're not going to focus on today, is le'ochla v'lo lehefseir. You're allowed to eat it, but you can't disrespect it. You can't destroy Shemitah food. That's why there are very concrete practical halachos in terms of how you discard Shemitah produce. You can't just throw it out in the garbage. It's Shemitah bin and this and that. We're going to have to discuss that as well. No, but le'ochla v'lo lehefseir. That's one halacha. What I want to talk about today is a partner halacha, sort of or sibling, which is the halacha of le'ochla v'lo l'schora. Okay? So that's why I entitled the Shir Kedushas Perosh Shvias, and today's subset of that category is Mitzvah Sachila, which I'm going to explain in a moment, and the Isser Schora. That there's a prohibition against some sort of, how would you define Schora? Business arrangement or business dealings with the Kedusha Shvias, right? Or with the fruit of the original Shvias. And we're going to have to define the parameters of this, and try to understand exactly what it means, what constitutes Schora, what kind of business dealings are permissible, what kind of business dealings are not permissible. And it's a complicated sugya. I will say that it's one of those areas that A, is extremely complex, and B, I haven't learned previously, which is great, which is great for me to have the opportunity to learn a lot of the topics that we've seen until now are things that I've had a significant exposure to prior, and so this summer or whatever, or as we go along, I sort of done chazar on them and pulled them together for our shiurim. For this particular piece, this is something I'm still in the middle of learning, so I just want to say that what we're presenting today, I think, what I'm going to present is accurate. I don't believe that anything I'm going to say is chas v'shalom. I'm not going to say it if I think that it's not true. But it's a little bit tentative, just in the sense that I'm continuing to learn the sugya. There are a lot of complex derabanan aspects of the sugya. So there's a daf in Maseches Sukkah that I really have to learn carefully, which is not often learned. Sukkah daf mem, sort of the end of Lulav HaGazal. This is the parts that really are not usually learned seriously. By the time you get there, you're usually skipping to something else. It's not the sukkah related materials, and it's really complex in Yoni Yisroim that are not necessarily learned extensively. But so I'm still working through some of the sugyos, both the Dorais and especially the Rabbanan aspects. So it's a little bit tentative, but hopefully we'll hang together nonetheless. Okay. What do we know about the Isser Schora? And what I want to do today is what will emerge is two questions that are interrelated. The first question I'd like to examine is, how do we understand the din of L'Ochla? And the second din I want to look at is the Isser Schora. Okay, so sort of L'Ochla and then the V'lo L'Schora, to look at each of those. Now, the first piece seems straightforward. It would seem straightforward if not for one Rishon. And the question is how do we understand the din of L'Ochla? So the simple pshat is that L'Ochla is a heter, right? V'haita Shabbat ha'arth lachem le'ochla, right? And it's given to you to eat. In other words, Torah is telling you, look, there's Kedusha that's invested in Peros Shvias, and there are all sorts of Isurim that are associated with working the land, and even with the fruit itself. But you should just know that's a heter achila. It's given to you to eat, it's given to your members of your household to eat, it's given to the Evyonim to eat. You're all allowed to eat it. And that indeed is the overwhelming majority position in terms of how to understand this pasuk. However, there is a classically quoted position of the Ramban, and the Ramban is generally understood as having maintained, and I think that there's fairly good reason for that, although we're going to have to examine the Ramban carefully. It's not 100%, but at least classically, the position of the Ramban is presented, that the Ramban disagrees, and that the Ramban holds that the din of L'Ochla is not a heter achila, but rather a mitzvas achila. It's not just that you're allowed to eat the Shemitah produce, but actually, it has so much Kedusha that you're encouraged to eat it, that the Torah wants us to eat it. Of course, it wants us to eat the Shemitah produce within proper parameters, and to avoid hefzid, and to avoid schora, and to treat it in a generally respectful kind of way, right, la halacha. But, or how, in the way that halacha defines. But it's not just that you're permitted to eat it, but according to the Ramban, at least it's generally understood that there is a mitzvah to eat it. Where in the world does this impression that this is the shita of the Ramban come from? It doesn't seem to emerge from any of the Mishnayos or the Sugyos in the Gemara that I'm familiar with. It's the Ramban in his Hasagos to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, which you find on the top of side number 2. I don't know why these are not numbered. I apologize for that. The Ramban, has, I think it's a total of 16, I want to say, although I'm not certain, offhand, of mitzvos aseh, the shechachas ha'esen. The Ramban famously lists the Rambam's, the mitzvos aseh and los aseh, that the Rambam omits. I believe that there are 16 mitzvos that the Ramban, mitzvos aseh that the Ramban counts that the Rambam omits. I'm not certain offhand. And we're going to examine mitzvah number 3 on the Ramban's list. And here the Ramban writes in his shechachas ha'esen, that mitzvah shlishit, that the third mitzvah that the Rambam neglected to count, is she'amra Torah b'feirosh shvias, that the Torah says with regard to peirosh shvias, v'haisa shabbat ha'aretz lachem le'ochla, v'darshu le'ochla v'lo l'schora. The Chazal darshan that you should eat it, right, or that it's for eating, but not for business dealings. V'zeh dvar Torah hu, says the Ramban. The Rambam got it wrong. The Rambam did not count in its sase. The Rambam sounds like there's just an iser of schora, right? The Rambam disagrees. He says, no, right? There's a mitzvah sase of le'ochla v'lo l'schora. V'zeh dvar Torah. That's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Kimosha amru be'achron shel avodah zara is the Gemara that we're going to see. Mandaf samach bezom and aleph in avodah zara. Nimsa porea chovo b'firo shvias. That it's, if one is found to be in a situation in which he or she repays a debt with peros shvias, that is problematic. That's aser. Aser min haTorah, the Ramban says. VaTorah amra, the Gemara says, essentially. VaTorah amra leochla v'lo l'schora. V'chem bimkom basravim min haTalmud. Other Gemara is going to see. B'choros taf yud beizim beiz. V'ayin suka mem amar aleph. That's the sugya that I have to work through. Abakula shon hazeh. V'nech b'la zos haMitzvah b'amro yisbarach. It's repeated in Parshas Mishpatim. V'achlu evyone amecha. Shelo amar, says the Ramban, he's medayik, le'evyone amecha. Ta'azovos, and the Torah could have said, but chose not to say, as it says elsewhere, that you shall leave them for the poor of your people. Right? Or right? Ta'azovos, kimosha amar, as it does in fact say in Parshas Kedoshim, le'ani v'lager ta'azovos, with regard to leked and shechecha. Aval l'shon achila mazkir bohem ha'kosov b'chol makom, right? And therefore, v'neha osa schora bohem, over ba'aseh. One who engages in merchandise dealings with the produce is in violation of an aseh. So the Ramban here is suggesting that the Rambam is wrong, that there is a mitzvah of le'ochla v'lo l'schora, and that should be counted as a mitzvah aseh among our enumeration of the 248 positive commandments in the Torah. Right? That's the assertion of the Ramban. The Ramban is generally understood to be saying there's a mitzvah saseh of lo'ocha v'lo l'schora. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah saseh of lo'ocha v'lo l'schora. So Ramban is generally understood as advocating there's a mitzvah to eat my, right? To eat my, again, my Shemitah produce, right? Whatever it may be. Now, there are those who come along and understand that's not exactly what the Ramban has in mind. That maybe this is more of what we call a lav haba miklal aseh. It's not so much about the positive act of eating from the Shemitah produce, but really it's about what? It's about being sure to treat it properly, right? And not degrade it, right? By making sure that I avoid schora and that I treat it respectfully, right, thereby I fulfill the mitzvah. So it's not so much that there's an inherent mitzvah like Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushan Tzav Tzivanu Al Achilas Peros Shviyas, like when you recite such a bracha for the Ramban, something like that. So the first explanation would say, yeah, that's how the Ramban is again very often presented. Not so sure. Another Achronim are not so sure, or Achronim, there are many Achronim who are not so sure. Because it could be the Ramban is saying it's not so much that there's a positive commandment to eat it. There's a positive commandment to treat it with respect, which involves not degrading it, right? Such as the classic instance of schora. Not so much that there's an inherent mitzvah achila per se. So that's a discussion. There is, by the way, and there are many examples. Just one random example, a minor example that comes to mind is with regard to karpas, for example. There's a machlokas Tanoim about charoses. So a small example, but we're not that far off from Pesach. So just to give this an example, there's machlokas Tanoim, what the reasoning for that is, and then there's machlokas Rishonim as to whether it's maybe even a berachas hamitzvah. There's a suggestion that maybe there should be a berachas hamitzvah on charoses, and part of the question is there an inherent mitzvah to eat this, or is it really just, for example, to blunt the force of the maror and to ensure that I'm protected from that terrible, well, it's not horseradish, because that's not necessarily what the Mishnah is referring to, whatever, from the potentially deleterious ill or endangering effects of the maror. So is it, okay, so I'm obligated to eat, but is there an inherent obligation to eat the charoses because of its symbolism of the tits, right, or the tachas hatapuach or articha, something like that, going back to the women's role in Yetzias Mitzrayim, or is it just because of sakana? Is it an intrinsic mitzvah because of its symbolism, or is it really just to make sure that I protect myself, right? So that's sort of, right, it's roughly analogous to what we're talking about here, right? Is there inherent value to the eating, or is it really in eating, meaning, i.e., avoiding something else? Not exactly protection, it's a little bit different. It's different in that regard, but sort of, again, roughly analogous to this question, is it inherent mitzvah sechila, or is it really about avoiding a problematic alternative? Okay, so that's the Ramban. And the Ramban, I'm going to argue, although I haven't seen this connection, and again, it's just tentative because I'm working through the sugya a little bit as we speak, but it's very interesting to note that we're going to see that the Ramban is a very prominent position in the sugya moving forward in terms of how we define schora. And I'm going to suggest that it's not a coincidence that the Ramban is Lashita. So as we'll see as we go along, but we'll come to that when we're ready. Okay. Now, that's regards to the achila. Most say it's a heter achila. The Ramban may be saying that there's a mitzvah achila. And how exactly you understand the Ramban here is subject to some interpretation. Okay. Now, what about the Isser Schora? So let's just, before we even delve into any makoros, if I were to ask you, give me examples of Schora offhand. What just describe an act of Schora that violates lo'ochla v'lo l'schora. What? Purchase. So it's any business. Is it any purchase? Does that constitute schora? I'm not disagreeing. I'm just asking, clarifying question.
Presumably, I don't see why you'd make distinction.
Okay. Are there any examples? Okay, good, fine. Are there any examples of schora b'perushvius that do not involve a business exchange? Exchange of perushvius for something else, or something with kedusha shvius or something else? Maybe. Let's say I stockpile my peroshvias with the intention of stockpile them because it helps me forward my my business, because that's what I do. I stockpile and then I'll sell it after shvias. Not actually selling it on shvias, but is that in this year's chora?
Put them in one place.
Yeah, like physically, I'm stockpiling them with the intention of leveraging my market share, right? I now have, right, a much more substantial amount that I can therefore sell it at a lower cost than a lot of other people in the market, than the market will generally bear, and therefore I will drive all the customers to come to me and I'll put all the other ones out of business. But I don't do anything on Shemitah. Just the Isser Peir Shvias, just to say, is not on Shvias proper, right? Meaning, it applies outside of Shvias. Very often it's in the eighth year or moving forward after that. So it's just as a point of clarification. It's anything that's invested, that grew with Kiddush Shvias. That's an important point of just of clarification. But let's say I do that, and then I don't actually end up selling anything for whatever reason. Is that Nisr Schora? You can say no. I don't know. Okay. Let's say
there is still pizza available in the lunchroom.
Let's say I choose to let's say I marry a woman with peroshvius instead of a ring. I'm either very romantic or not so romantic. Either way. So let's say I give Dmei Kiddushin, right, the peroshvius. Is that an Isser Schora? Depends on how you understand Kiddushin. It's a Kenyan. Depends how you understand that. That also, yeah. So if it's a Kenyan, then it's Aser. If it's not a Kenyan, then it's not. If it's like a Kenyan Isser, not a Kenyan. Also, yeah. Okay, maybe. Okay. So these are things to think about, and I think, and I'm going to try to explain why. So, all those thoughts. So what are some examples of, how do we know that there's an Isser Schora, or what exactly, we've already started to see that, but what are some examples of this category? So just to give some instances that appear in the Sugya. So they give this, the Mishnah in, yeah, there it is. So there's a Mishnah that introduces this concept. That's at the bottom of the first page. Mishnah in Shvias, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. Describing what has Kedusha Shvias. So first the Mishnah teaches an interesting halacha that not only the fruit itself, the inside of the fruit, but possibly even the skins, the klipim, the klipos rather, have Kedusha, are invested with sanctity as well. Klipe rimon v'hanitz shelo, klipe agozim v'hagalinen, yeshlem shias v'dmein shvias, the skins of pomegranates, the husks, right, or the sort of the outside section of the nuts, right, or pits, galinim, pits of fruit, yeshan tvias v'dmein shvias, they also have kedusha shvias, which is an important halacha l'maisa point to know about as well. Hatzaba tzave la'atzmo v'lo yitzba b'sachar, so the dyer is allowed to what? Is to die for himself, but he's not allowed to die, as you were saying, b'peiro shvias. Okay? Right? What does that mean? He's not allowed to, right? Lo yitzba b'schar, excuse me, she'in osim schora b'feiro shvias. Right? This is a place where in the Mishnayos and Shvias, the Isser Schora appears explicitly. So what's the case here? Velo yitzba b'schar. He's not allowed to die for payment. What does that mean? He's not allowed to die. What's he using? He's using the... Right, but he's using the sort of the extract from presumably from the peiros shvias in order to right for schar, and he's going to die, and he's going to do that as an exchange, right? And that's going to be asa. Interesting that it's a professional here, because this is getting back to your question earlier a little bit. In other words, let's say I just go to this, right? Let's say I just exchange it with someone on the street. He has no professional interest. I have no professional interest. What? Just what? Just exchange. Yeah, you're in school, and you brought a, I don't know, you brought a snack and someone wants to buy it off you for 50 cents. I don't know. It was soda and they want to buy it off you. You're allowed to sell it. It's Shemitah soda. But that's Shemitah soda. Is that permissible?
Why would it be?
Why would it be? Because it's not schora in the sense that, what's schora? Schora to me sounds like it's a business dealing. Well, that's how typically schora is typically used. That's the example here in the Mishnah, right? So one might wonder, at least, what happens if it's just a casual kind of thing? What exactly, how do we understand this is schora? If the point is that it's l'ochla v'lo l'schora, and the point is that what? That you can't degrade it. So yeah, you might say that the point is that I'm not, right, or not just that you can't degrade it, but the point is that you're not allowed to use, right, a good word to use here would be the word commercial. Right? You can't, it would be usher to use Shemitah produce in a commercial way. Because after all, isn't that what the Torah is trying to teach? The Torah is trying to teach us that what? That we should let the land lie fallow and we should not let anything associated with Shemitah be used commercially. Right? 50 cents for the Shemitah soda or the Shemitah apple or whatever, no matter how shiny it is, that's not a commercial usage. That's just an exchange, right? It's nothing more. So schora usually we think of in sort of a more professional commercial context. But that's a question I think that needs to be raised. I think it's going to be important moving forward as well. So just to raise the question. Okay. Now, if you continue, then the Mishnah is to give you on page 2, those are about the halacha of hefsed, and we're going to have to get back to that. But just, those are some of the key Mishnahs for that, so we can leave that aside, at least for now. Now, the Gemara has a couple of examples as well. There are three Gemaras that we'll have to see that come up, that arise in context of the Isser Schar Befeir or Shvias, and I gave you just sort of snippets of those Gemaras. So one is the Gemara that we referred to, that the Ramban already referred to, on the top of page 3 now in the source sheet. And that's the Gemara Avodah Zarah and the Afsamach Beizim and Aleph. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says as follows: My scharan shvius. What does it mean that that they rented them on shvius? So the Gemara says as follows: Ile ma diavina luhu schar mi peiro shvius. So you're going to pay what? Let's say I owe you $100, and instead of giving you $100 cash, what do? I give you $100 of kedusha shvius produce. And that's how I repay my debt. So Gemara says that's asur, and this is what the Ramban referred to as well. Nimtza ze porea chovo mi peiro shvius. Right? It would emerge that one is repaying a debt with peiro shvius. The Torah Amra that's asur, parshas Behar, le'ochla velo l'schora. So another example is that you're repaying a debt mi peiro shvius. Now, is that an exchange, a transaction, the way that we were describing it? Is that the same thing as payment? Yeah. Is that the same thing as paying $100 to buy something?
Why would you like that? One above is like Korea. It sounds like. Just reading, I thought it was very debt.
Right. But it's not necessary, right? You see what I'm saying? In other words, the question is.
That's not what it's referring to,
right? No. Well, it's paying a debt.
So it says that you want to go to Korea. It's a why? Is that Korea for any payers?
Yeah. So what that means is the equivalent of paying $100 of a debt. I mean, it's a little bit different than if I buy something from you, because there's really an exchange directly. Now here it might be for services, or it might just be that I had previously, right, borrowed $100, and now I'm repaying it for it, right? Like schiros, right? I'm paying you for a service or for prior debt that I owe you. But it's not, is it a direct exchange, right? Am I buying something with it? Sort of, but it's a little bit different. Right, I'm just defining categories. But the Gemara says that that's us. Fine. So that's important to know.
It includes non-commercial activities.
That is quite possibly correct. It's already pushing it. And here's a maybe even a more non-commercial activity, it would seem, as the Gemara in Mechoros and Afyud Be'ezum would be. So the Gemara asks, Yiboyelehu, Mahu liftos bevehem ashviyas. What's the halacha with regard to being podeh, to redeeming something with an animal of Shemitah? Oh, so what's this? What does it mean, pidyon b'vem ashvias? When do you do pidyon? Masachas b'choros. So you could do pidyon haben. Okay, good. What other, right? So there are three halachos of b'chor, right? The halachos of b'chor with regard to things that have to be brought, given to someone. I don't mean b'chor like l'nachla or things like that. Where are the halachos? There's b'chor behema Tehora, Bechor Behemoth Tamea, and Bechor Adam. Right? So let's go in reverse order. Right? Well, let's start with the last one at least. Bechor Adam, that's what we call Pidyon HaBen. So the firstborn male child, right? If it wasn't a C-section, and right, father and mother, not Ben or Bas, Kohen or Bas Levi, right, etc. So under proper circumstances, you give Yechamisha Shkalim to the Kohen, right, Pidyon HaBen, Bechor Adam. Then you have Bechor Behema Tahora. What's Bechor Behema Tahora? So you have your sheep, your firstborn sheep in the flock. So what do? Right? You bring it as a korban straight to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no redemption at all. Right? And then you have your Bechor Behema Tzimea. What do you have? So that's your Chamor. What? Could you redeem it? I don't think so. It has Kedushas Mizbeach. I don't think it can be Mafkia Bechdi. If it had a mon, you're actually Stayev and so on and so forth. Okay. Bechor Behema Tzimea. What's that? So you have your donkey. So what do? So to the donkey, what do? Perform arifas, peter chamor, right? So you decapitate it. What do you do with the? What do you do? You exchange the status of the chor behema tamea onto a behema tahora, and then you bring the behema tahora in exchange for the peter rechem on the mizbeach. So that's an act of pidyon. What? Yeah, arifa. Okay? Okay. Is it after? Or is it, I think it's might be before. I think it might be before. But you do those. Those are the two things that you do. Your poded, you exchange it onto a behemoth tahora, and you bring that behemoth tahora as a korban in place, quote unquote, of the behemoth tzemeah, which cannot be wrong because it can't bring it down to you. Okay. So now. Sorry, no, if you can't exchange it, then you do that refund. That's what we do nowadays. Okay, good. All right, so the Gemara wants to know, Yibayluhu, mahu liftos bebehem ha-shviyah. So is it permissible for one to perform pidyon with behem ha-shviyah? So what does that mean? So I think the case would be that you have your b'chor behem ha-tzimeah and you want to exchange it onto what?
Exchange the
condition. Yeah, onto behem, I think that's the pshat in the Gemara, behem ha-shviyah. So what does that mean? How would you get a behem ha-shviyas? Did you grow your sheep in your field?
Probably not.
So what did you do? Good, right? So you start with peros shviyas, then you exchange those onto a behem ha-tahora, and then that's the question. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Aser, v'adai lo tibayilach, if it's certainly, right, if you have a certain chiyod to give b'chor in this case, so, right, or if it's certainly behem ha-shviyas, so then that's certainly aser. L'achila merechmana, v'lo l'schora. So again, is this a classic instance of schora? Or in the sense of commercial behavior? Doesn't sound commercial to me. Okay? Alright. And then, by the way, one other source is you have the Mishnah also in Shvias and in Ches Ches. Okay, which is a complicated line we'll leave aside for now. But it's aser to acquire slaves, lands, or behemah tzmeya, for a non-kosher animal, midime shvias. Again, is this in a commercial context? Is this more commercial in nature? Sounds more commercial. Fine. Good. There's one last Gemara, which is the Gemara in Gittin, which I should mention, which is not right there. So if you jump to the next one, I just gave you a snippet. The truth is there's a lot more that's relevant on page 4. The Gemara in Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara, I just gave you the piece where the Gemara says, HaMekadesh B'Peiros Shviyas Mekudeshes, that if you marry a woman with Peiros Shviyas, that it works, which is goes to the question I was asking earlier, I should say. It sounds, the Pashup Shah in the Gemara, that not only does it work, but it sounds like it's Mozer L'Chadchila from the previous part of the Gemara. I didn't give that to you here. It sounds like it's Mozer L'Chadchila, but that's very relevant, because then the question is, well, what do you mean? What about... Right. What about our issue of lochel v'loschora? Okay. So those are the relevant sugyos that bear on this issue. Now, how does this all come together? So it's been observed that there seems to be some debate about this issue. So take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban on page 3, on the bottom of page 3. And he's commenting on Gemara Avodah Zarah about Sachran, right? That Nimsa Zeparia Chova Miperoshvias. He says like this: Nimsa Zeparia Chova Beferoshvias Rachmana Amar LaOchla, right? That you have to eat a Perosh Rachmana Amar Beferoshvias. Dila Achila Nitnu, as we said, Velo Davar Acher, right? LaOchla. But not for anything else. Below davar acher. Lefichach says the Ramban. Also likach beferoshvias minat Torah called davar shino nachal. It's an iser deraisa, and it's so far as they're unanimously agreed upon, as we've said, that the iser score is an iser minat Torah. Right? Also likach beferoshvias minat Torah called davar shino nachal. So that's going to be a key line because the Ramban is saying again that it's usher to acquire beferoshvias called davar shino nachal. Right? V'kosher came b'feiro shvias atzman. All the more so, peiro shvias proper. Then lochem b'hen avadim v'karkaos. That you can't not just demei shvias, but right, there's money that was exchanged for peiro shvias. But peiro shvias itself, certainly to use it to acquire any non-foodstuffs, any non-food projects, products. Is going to be aser. The huadin, same halacha applies. The chalok, the talis, a cloak, a talis, kodavar she'eino ro'i la'achila. Anything that's not ro'i la'achila, it's aser to exchange your shemitah fruit for, or demei shvias for. He says that he quotes the Tosefta that if you go down to the bottom of this page, v'hasan tanya peiro shvias in lochem mehem mayim u'melach, right? Even something that's like a bare bones achila, you might not be allowed to do aval davar haroy lachila vaday lochem. But if it's roy lachila, then you are allowed to acquire. So I'm allowed to do what? According to the Ramban, if I had my fruit pears question, that would be problematic. Right? That would be okay, excuse me. Right? Yeah. Apple for pear. That's what I'm saying. Oh, why is Raman say that? So let's think about that. We'll have to figure that out.
This is his Kiddush.
Why? But it makes sense that it's his Kiddush, which we'll explain. So then he comes to the bottom. If you jump a bunch of lines, four lines from the bottom. V'lefroa chova b'feiro shvias nami mishim haytai ma'aser. To repay one's debt with peiro shvias is also aser for this reason. Why? D'chivon d'demei aperos nisharin biyado. Since the demei aperos stay in his hand. V'ina nitpasin havilas chora, and are not sort of quote unquote caught. That constitutes sechora as well. I think it means, one second. I think the point is like this. One second. I'm not sure. I have to think about it a little bit more. I think what
you
said.
You were a freshman in your last year, and you had been to everyone's office.
Okay. I think the pshat is, I have to think about it further. I think what he's saying is that in this case, as opposed to a typical exchange, the money is not nitpas with kedusha shvias because it's poreach chovo. I owe him $100. Instead, I give him $100 worth of shemitah produce. So there's no exchange back for it. So I'm just giving it to him. It's okay. I'm not certain. I think the point is that in this case, there's no exchange on Tidzmei Peros, which I get. Like if I buy $100, if I give you fruit for $100, you give me $100, I have the money, and then I can use the money to then go buy other fruit with that. Here, there's no exchange on Tidzmei Shvias. It stays with you. So I pay. Yeah, I think that's his point. Yeah, and I'll explain why in a second. even though it's not necessarily intuitive. What's the Ramban saying here? So if I understand correctly, I think what the Ramban is saying is as follows. He understands, and this is how I see the sheet of the Ramban in the Sugya, if I understand it correctly. And it's not just the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rifa, the Alter, Chachmei Svarad is why I didn't give you. I think what the Ramban is trying to say is that his understanding is that the Isser Schora is not so much about commercial activity. His Lashon earlier was, anytime you're distancing the food from Achila, and therefore for him, if it's an apple and I exchange it for a pear, that's okay. What? No, I want to hear. Here, I'm going to connect to the Sugya in a second. But what he said was, he said, Kol davar she'ino roi l'achila is aser to exchange it for. But if it's roi l'achila, that's okay. That was his lashon earlier. Right? And the reason is, because what? And he said, L'fichach aser likach b'firo shvius min haTorah kol davar she'ino necha. Kol davar she'ino necha. So for the Ramban, I think he's understanding like this. Here's the chakira. How do you understand that? So, what we might have understood is that there are two separate halachas here. There's a la'okhla, and then there's an isr schora. La'okhla is, let's say, heter achila, whatever it means, and schora means an isr of merchandise, which either means an exchange or commercial activity or something like that. Right? Fine. That's not how the Ramban understands it, clearly. What the Ramban understands here is that la'ochla v'lo l'schora are two sides of the same coin, and they're one halacha. The isr schora is not some other issue of mistreating or abusing or being disrespectful to peros or demei shvias, to kedusha shvias. Rather, what it is that in certain cases, when I exchange this for something else, I ensure that, right, anything that has, I have to ensure that kedusha shvias, right, anything that's invested with kedusha shvias is used la'achila. So if I exchange the Shemitah fruit for a pear, so then I have more achila things. But not for other purposes. So anytime I have Kedusha Shvias, I need to make sure it's directed toward achila. If it's used for a talis, for a chaluk, forget commercial activity, it has nothing to do with commercial or not. Rather, the pshat is that the only legitimate usage is la'achila. All usage of demei shvias or kedusha shvias has to be directed toward eating. And if it's directed toward any other purpose, that is halachically problematic. And that's the isser. And I think that, yes, the Ramban is l'shitas. Because I think what the Ramban did in his asagos to the Rambam's mitzvah saseh is the Ramban said exactly this. He defined the mitzvah of la'ochla as la'ochla v'lo l'schora. How did he know that there's a mitzvah of la'ochla? Right? It's not just a heter that it's a mitzvah. It's because the isser is the inverse. It's the flip side of the mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh is to ensure that anything invested in Kedusha Shvias is directed toward achila and not anything else. And so it's not a separate iser of schora, but rather it's a violation of the assay or the lav habamikal assay of la'ochla, velo l'schora. And that's, I think, the Ramban is l'shitaso. And that's why I think other Rishonim didn't hold like the Ramban, and rather understood as more of a classic halacha of merchandise. How do I know that? So I didn't give you very much here. Maybe we'll continue next time with this. But if you take a look at Rashi, the Rashi had to get. I have to give you a wider context in order to make the point from Rashi. So I'm going to leave this side the Rashi for now. But the Rambam, for example, could well disagree. The Tosos I didn't give you that I'd like to give you maybe next week that also seems to disagree with. And the thrust of Rashi and Tosos, the Rambam, and other Rishonim is that they seem to really understand it in the other way. It's not that anything that takes it away from, right, that distracts the fruit from Le'ochla, but rather there's an issur of using it in a commercial kind of way. So for example, the Rambam says that it's okay to buy a little bit. The Rambam writes explicitly in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, Ein Osin Schar B'Feiro Shvias U'Ratzo Limkor Me'at Mi'Feiro Shvias Mocher. Right? And is V'Osin Adam Harihin K'Feiro Shvias V'Yokach V'Hen Machal V'Yokach B'Tusha Shvias V'Osa Priya Nimkar Hu B'Tusha Sok Shehaya, etc. So, in other words, the point is that the Ramban, I think, is a major chiddush. We're going to have to, let's leave it here for now, because in Mir Session we're going to have to spend some time looking at the other Shita. But I think that the Ramban is a different position. I think the Ramban is L'Shita. So, and I think as we'll see as we continue, this is an alternative school of thought that really sees this as no, it's an Isser Schora in its own right, not as just an inverse or flip side of the chiyuv or the mitzvah schora lishitasam, and not counting this as a separate mitzvah, defining this as sort of an abusive or inappropriate relationship, a degrading relationship or attitude toward or behavior toward something of esu kedusha shvius, and that would be a sort of a different way of viewing this again. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Mr. Hashem will continue moving forward. Shkach.